In the first reading today, St. James tells us that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. That would seem to be something that should be blatantly obvious to anyone. And yet, if we look at what has been going on in our world and in our church, there has been a constant watering down, a constant chipping away, to the point that following what our Lord said has now become problematic for many. We look at, for instance, just what we're celebrating today. You would think that at least we could agree on what a mother is, and we can all be grateful for that. But there are about 10 corporations that have decided that they're not celebrating Mother's Day this year because it's too controversial. Really? Now, this includes a jewelry outlet. This includes a baby store. I mean, how can you have a baby without a mom? But they're not going to celebrate Mother's Day. So it wasn't bad enough that on Friday, the information came out that the Department of Homeland Security has decided that anyone who is a mother and is pro-life is a radicalization suspect, as well as the rest of us because we go to church. They didn't, by the way, say that anyone who goes to a synagogue or to a mosque is a radicalization suspect, but if you go to church, you are. And we know that they have already nailed people like us because they wanted to infiltrate the more traditionalist Catholic churches because they're afraid of us, because we're really scary people, I guess. But when you look at this and you say, okay, why would these companies be willing to sacrifice lots and lots of money, because that's really what they're usually all about, by not celebrating Mother's Day? Because there's a bigger agenda. They bought into the whole thing. And we recognize what they've been doing. If you look back over the years, those old enough to realize what's been going on, ask yourself just in our own country, what does Labor Day mean to anybody anymore? What does Memorial Day mean to most people in America? It means a day off of work, but doesn't have anything to do with what it's actually for. What's the 4th of July? Fireworks. Does it have anything to do with our Constitution, with our rights? No, because they've been taking all those away. So as long as we have fireworks, we think that we're doing okay. But they've been doing the same thing in the church. You look at what's been going on, just look at Christmas. Within society, Christmas is just about lights and presents. It has nothing to do with Jesus. And how many people have gone along with that? You listen to anything that is considered Christmas music now, they just call it seasonal music, because it has to do with snowmen and Santa Claus and trees or lights, but it has absolutely nothing to do with our blessed Lord. And how easily it is just to go along with that, because it just kind of sneaks in quietly. And you realize that when you look at the other side of things, these people are truly doers of their word, of Satan's word. They are committed to their cause, and they are going to push it even if it's going to cost them. They don't care, because there's a higher agenda, or a lower agenda as far as we'd be concerned. And so we need then to look at it for ourselves and ask ourselves, are we really being doers of the word? Are we living it? That's the real question that has to be in the hearts of every one of us. Because again, as we're moving along and we're recognizing that the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, they think that we're a problem. The question is, how long is it going to be before they decide to start really, truly persecuting us? And then what happens? It's something, again, that's very important to be able to look at. I remember, for instance, when I was first ordained, I cut the sign of peace out of Mass. And somebody came back after Mass and said, "Why did you cut the sign of peace out? That's the reason I come to Mass." I said, "What?" In other words, Mass is a social event. It had nothing to do really with the Lord. That was the excuse for being able to come and be social. It's about going out to breakfast with your friends afterward, or it's about whatever, but it wasn't about God. There was one place where I was at, and I was preaching, and the strangest thing that I've ever seen happened. I said to the people, wasn't even trying to challenge them. I thought it was just an obvious point, a side point that I was making. And I said, "We're here for the worship of God." And this wave went through the place. And I literally sat there and watched as this wave of the people, as they kind of did something. I don't know what exactly they did. But again, the idea that they were there for the worship of God was not what was primary. So we need to look at that then and ask ourselves, are we here for the worship of God? And if things come down to it, what really is most important to us? Because a lot of things can be taken away, but what is in the heart cannot. They can take away all the externals. If we wind up in the middle of a bad situation, yeah, we're not going to be in a beautiful place. We're not going to have incense. We're not going to have music. We're not going to have all the beautiful things. But we can still have the Lord. I remember Cardinal Van Tuan, before he was a cardinal, he was made the Archbishop of Saigon a couple of months before Saigon fell to the communists. They captured the poor man, put him in solitary confinement, I think it was for 13 years. Obviously a pretty sharp guy, he convinced them that he had stomach problems, so they gave him some wine. And he said Mass every day. And the way that he did that is when they were in the re-education camp, all the people would tear the bread crusts off of their bread that they were given to eat. And when it was exercise time, they would give all these to the Archbishop. And at night when the lights went off, in his hand, he put 3 drops of wine and 1 drop of water. That was his chalice. And he had all these bread crusts from the people. And he said Mass every day. And then in the paper that they gave them to be able to make their notes for their re-education, they would all tear the bottoms of the paper off, and he would wrap up the Eucharist in the papers so that when they went out the next day for the exercise, he could pass those out. So each one of the dorms or whatever, you know, the prison, barracks, whatever, would be able to have the right number of hosts to be able to distribute to the people. Now, obviously, that's not the way anybody wants to have Mass. But if we have to, that's what we're going to do. Because that is what's most important. And we can all look at that and consider that. There are many of you who drive a long distance to be able to come here on Sunday. You're willing to be inconvenienced because there is something higher, something greater that you're looking at. That's what they're afraid of. If you look at what they're trying to do in our society, it's trying to cause everything to be self-focused. But if our focus is on Jesus, then we're terrifying to them because it's not about itself. People who are focused on the Lord are going to be willing to be persecuted for Him. They're going to be willing to suffer for Him. They're going to be willing even to die for Him. We have to remember St. James was writing to people who were being persecuted. And it's interesting that when we look in his letter, he chastises those who are not coming to Mass, those who stay away from the common assembly. It's like, but we're being persecuted. If somebody finds out that we're there, we could be in trouble. Yeah, St. James doesn't say, oh, yeah, stay away because we don't want anybody to be in trouble. No, instead he says, some of you aren't coming. So again, we look at that and we say, all right, we need to be doers of the word. We have the word of God. We have the fullness of the truth. And we are surrounded by lies. It's everywhere around us. And it's so easy, again, to give in because everyone is doing it. No, not everyone is. But we have to be that light in the darkness. I think of Rod Dreher's book, Live Not by Lies. If you haven't read it, it's a fantastic book. There are lots of books that are 300 pages long that really could be 20. And they'd say the exact same thing. This one's about 200 pages long. It could easily be 400. It is that good. And it's just that point that if you have the truth, you're free. Even if you're being persecuted, even if they're going to try and take everything from you, you have the truth. You're free. And that's exactly the situation for all of us. We have the truth. So again, we look at what we're doing even just today in the secular realm. You and I know what a woman is. Thanks be to God. They don't. And because we know what a woman is, we know what a mother is. And we can be grateful for our mother. And we can be grateful for our mother, the church, and we can be grateful for our blessed mother who gave birth to the Savior of the world. See, all of this is the foundational stuff. They're trying to take the truth away because then it's just your opinion. And if it's just your opinion, it can change like the wind. You're not going to be willing to suffer for an opinion. You're not going to be willing to die for an opinion. But you're going to be willing to suffer and die for the truth, when that truth is a person and you love that person. And that's exactly what our Lord told us in the gospel reading today. And when he talks about what God is going to do, he said, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and you believe that I came forth from God. That's you. You believe in the Lord. You love our blessed Lord. And so now, for all of us, it's a matter of looking at the question and saying, okay, where have I allowed the lies to seep in? Where have I allowed myself to compromise? Where have I allowed myself to not be truly a doer of the word? And we can then make some adjustments in our own lives. I told the people over at Holy Trinity, there's an app, I guess is what they call it. You can have it on your phone, or you can put it on your computer. And it's got 25 or so different adoration sites live. It's not a picture of the Blessed Sacrament. It's live adoration. You can have that right in your home. My favorite one, there's this absolutely gorgeous place over in Poland. You just look up EWTN Polska and just start typing adoration because it's a Polish word, but starts with the same letters anyway. It'll come up, and it's like a statue of Our Blessed Lady. It looks like it's about 7 feet tall, and right where her Immaculate Heart would be, there's the Eucharist about this big, and it is absolutely gorgeous. If you want something really, really simple, they've got some really simple adoration chapels. You can have that in your office. You can have that in your home. How can you live your faith more and more? Because they're trying to take everything away. Therefore, what we need to do is make sure that we're firm. We don't have to be obnoxious about it. You don't have to be out there trying to do anything. You need to live it. That's what our Lord is asking. That's what St. James is asking. If we're going to truly say that we love our Lord Jesus Christ, what's that going to look like? Again, think about that for those of you who are married. You truly love your spouse, are you going to deny them? If you truly love your spouse, are you going to be embarrassed by them? If you truly love your spouse, are you going to try and hide them so that nobody knows? Are you going to take your wedding ring off so that no one knows that you're married? Certainly not. If we truly love our blessed Lord, then we're not going to be embarrassed of Him. We're not going to try and hide the truth. Instead, we're going to live it. And that's going to be the light that the world needs. Yeah, we might be persecuted because of it. We might even die because of it. But we have to remember, if we die because of the faith, we go straight to heaven. There's no purgatory for a martyr. They go straight up. Heck of a deal. If you're anything like me, you're probably going to be in purgatory till the end of the world. So if you get to die and go straight to heaven, wow, what a deal. And we should be lined up for something like that rather than being afraid of it. So it's something, again, for all of us to really look at seriously as we see the watering down of things. And again, don't think that just because we're in the church, this isn't going to happen. Look what's going on in Germany right now. We have bishops and cardinals who are embracing absolute rank heresy. And what do they do from Rome? Huh, Francis says that's the Holy Spirit at work. Really? The Holy Spirit, we're told, is given to lead us into all truth, not to lead us away from the truth, not to lead us to be more worldly, not to lead us into something that is offensive to God. If that's the case, all we're doing is, yeah, we heard the word, but we don't care. It goes in one ear and out the other. We heard the word, but you know what? There are other things more important. Fitting in with the world, getting more money, being more powerful, whatever. We've got higher things that we think we need to be after. There's nothing higher than God. And St. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians that there's nothing higher than love. So if we have true love for God, there truly is nothing that is higher. Nothing. That's what we want to be striving for, is that love for God. And flowing from that, the love for neighbor. And if we are truly doing that, then we're going to truly be doers of the word. We will be living it. We're not just going to be going through the motions. We're not just going to be giving lip service. We're not going to be doing anything because it's a social event. We're going to be here because it's for the worship of God, which is why I trust and believe that all of you are here. But maybe now our Lord is even giving us a greater opportunity to go deeper. Because if there's that possibility that we'd have to suffer for this, then we have to step back. We've got to look at it in our minds and ask, what really is most important? Jesus Christ is most important. He himself made that very clear. One thing only is necessary. That's him. And if that's what's in our heart, then he wants that to keep going deeper. He wants us to keep growing more and more and more. That's what he's giving us the opportunity to do. So reject the lies. Live according to the truth, because the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he's our only hope, he's the only one given to us by which we will be saved. We know all of these things. But maybe now, if we've just kind of settled into it and maybe haven't lived it the way we should, we need to reevaluate things. Really look seriously at it, because as things move along, maybe we're really going to have an opportunity to have to not only be hearers of the word, but truly and absolutely doers of the word.